This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. This is a love story about a mansion, the man who once lived in it, and the woman who felt such a connection to the house, she built one of her own. The shingle-style house is called Cragside. It was built on the coast of Manchester by the sea in the late 1800s. In the mid-1900s, Jane Goodrich was 12 years old. She lived in Vermont. She saw a picture of the home in a book, and she became infatuated with it. After college, Goodrich and her boyfriend went to search for the house, and they found it had been torn down years before. They were crestfallen. But then it occurred to them they could rebuild it for themselves, by themselves, up on the Maine coast. The couple tracked down the blueprints to Cragside, which was an icon of American architecture. As Goodrich and the man who became her husband built their replica, they discovered the rich history of the man who called the original Cragside mansion home. Jane Goodrich has written a fictional account of that man. The novel is called The House at Lobster Cove. She says the historic house still captures people's imagination.
It's on Pinterest pages today. The house is a masterpiece. People who see it don't forget it. It's the best of its style.
Describe it.
It's large. It's shaggy. It looks as though you could possibly live in it comfortably. It is not a Newport mansion. It is indeed only 4,200 square feet. It's not huge. It's playful. It's
playful
romantic.
Because it has weirdly shaped rooms.
It has weirdly shaped rooms and towers and archways and stone walls. And it just is that sort of magical, almost castle-like feeling that one romanticizes when they romanticize a house. It just had all those various aspects. And then there's always something enigmatic about it as well. It was... who designed it and why? Why an archway? Why a tower here? It's just interesting.
The archway, by the way, is so the carriages could turn around easily in a small space, correct? This is very much a house of its time, of the 1800s.
Yes, that's true. It was built with carriages in mind. It was actually Frederick Law Olmsted who suggested to the architect that they pass beneath the house. And Peabody's solution was to design this fabulous arch.
As you and your husband were building by yourselves this house, you also found out more about the man who owned the first house. His name is George Nixon Black Jr., who went by the name of Nixon. And he was a real character, meaning an actual character, an actual person in Boston history. You were enchanted by him, but also feel like we should know more about him because this man was as big a philanthropist as, you say, Isabella Stewart Gardner was, the art collector.
Yes, perhaps even more. He was Boston's largest taxpayer in 1890, and no one today really knows his name. He had vast swaths of Boston real estate, commercial real estate, and that was how he made his fortune. He was known for his fabulous carriages and his love for his animals. He and Isabella Stewart Gardner had a slight rivalry over who had the finest horses. And they both gave money to the Nevins Farm and the MSPCA, particularly to the Boston Museum of Fine Arts. He supported women artists long before anyone did, joined no clubs that I could ever discern, didn't entertain particularly. He was very under the radar, but what he did for Boston were large philanthropic things.
So you tell a fictional story of him, though, following his life from the time that he was watching the rivermen in Maine. We are with Nixon, this gentle and very sensible boy, as he witnesses his first gruesome bar brawl, reaches adolescence, has his first romantic dalliances, realizes he prefers men to women. The Civil War rages on. Where did these stories come from?
When I first began to research him, because he didn't have any near relatives when he died, I thought that the best place to look was to look at his will. And I said, when you're 86 years old, you have no near relatives, who do you leave money to and why? So I went to the Suffolk County Deeds and found his will. And that's where the story, it just laid itself bare. I found out about the women artists because he left them bequests. His first crush because he left a bequest to a namesake. I found Civil War letters. And it is from these 10,000 facts that I made this fictional story.
Nixon, or George Nixon Black, had a home in Boston, but also Cragside, this home in Lobster Cove, that you wanted to basically replicate. How much is it, an exact replication, an approximation?
If he were to come to the house today, it's backwards because we built it as a mirror image so it would fit on our land better. Other than the fact that everyone would seem backwards to him, the layout, he would know.
He would recognize it.
Oh, he'd know where his room was. He'd know where his mother's room was and his sister's room was. They're there, just as they were.
So it seems like the rewards would be obvious. I mean, you and your husband built this with your two hands. What else is the reward for you?
I admired the house first. Long before I was a fan of George Nixon Black, I didn't know him. But his name was on the blueprint. And when you begin to build a house from another time and you occupy spaces in which other people once lived, you begin to wonder, who were they? What part was the servants and what part was theirs? What was their favorite window? And you begin to imagine the person himself. Then I began to research George Nixon Black. I assumed initially, you know, some rich guy, not anything very interesting. The more I found out about him, the more I found what a wonderful person he was and how unknown to everyone. I actually went some time fearing that I'd find out something I didn't like about him. But at the end of the day, one of the great payoffs is I absolutely love him. I think he's a wonderful man. He should be known to Boston. He's buried underneath a gravestone about the size of a bread box at Mount Auburn Cemetery. And also what it took, the bravery to live for 34 years in the shadow of the Massachusetts Day House in this same-sex fidelity. It's just a fabulous statement on his humanity and how wonderful he was.
Thank you very much, Jane Goodrich, author of the book The House at Lobster Cove. Very nice to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you, too.